You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 599.
You have some big competitors, and some of it's good, and some of it's going to feel a little bit scary. I just want you to know that it's out there. So let's talk about a few of the players that are in the space that you're going to have to compete with. And it's going to depend on what market you are. They may not be there yet. They may be coming. So let's cover iBuyers first. iBuyer model is the fast cash backed by technology. That's really the innovation in the space, is they're popularizing something we've been doing for years.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
What's up, guys? This is Lauren Hardy, and you are listening to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. Today, I am so excited for the guest I have because he's a legend. His family is a legend. His company is a company that is just so dear to my heart, the Norris Group. His father, Bruce Norris, has been an influential person in my life. And Aaron, who we have today, his predecessor, is doing huge things in the space. So we have so many really interesting things to talk about. So Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you for bringing me on. It's very lovely to be here. I've never been called a legend. And just so everybody knows listening, I don't take myself that seriously. So I'm here for Main Street.
And you don't know what kind of impact you guys had on my career. And honestly, a lot of people in the Southern California area. So you are.
Well, and now being with Property Radar, you know, it's a cool opportunity to hopefully impact a lot more investors and realtors and mortgage professionals nationwide. It's really exciting.
So do me a favor and tell everybody a little bit about you and get into some of the history. Because I mean, let's paint the picture of how big time you guys are.
Well, I was a professional artist. So for any of you newbies out there, yes, I did start flipping houses starting at 5 with dad for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Apparently, I didn't think that was too sexy and I was in the art. So I lived in New York City for 7 years. I never thought I would be in real estate. And I came back out to California when my mom had cancer and I decided to take a break. And a lot of things just fell into place, including my body giving out. I have back arthritis. I have like an 80-year-old body. So what I was doing in New York, I had to switch. And in New York, in between gigs, I fell into a Wall Street gig doing a lot of research, acquisition and merger presentations on Wall Street, and really fell in love with the data and the process and analytics, and fell into marketing and PR more. So my life, when I came back out to California, completely went into the marketing and PR realm. And then I was about to go back to a Wall Street company in, I think it was 05, and had a really weird interview. And dad said, why don't you just come work for me? I want to write the California crash. And I did. I came to work for the family business. All that Wall Street experience transferred over, and we created a 400-page book with 800 charts of why he thought people should leave the state of California and get out of the way of some damage. And so, yes, he saved a lot of people money, and he's made a lot of people over the years. I have been very lucky to be a small part of that. And that's actually where I met Sean O'Toole, CEO of Property Radar. He was one of the few people who saw the writing on the wall. He stopped flipping houses in Northern California, and he created Foreclosure Radar at the time. You know, people thought he was nuts too. And sure enough, you know, he's helped make billions of dollars for real estate investors on the West, five states on the West Coast that we serve that have been involved in trustee sales and foreclosures. And Foreclosure Radar became Property Radar. And here we are. We went national last month. So if you're not familiar with Property Radar, the easiest way I can say it is it's property, people, and mortgage data in one space. So especially for wholesalers and real estate investors, you're able to identify really interesting niches with over 200 fields. So if you throw me a strategy today, we can even play this game. You can throw me a strategy and I will tell you some unique data points that you might not even know are available. So, and it's not just direct mail. We can append emails and phone numbers. So, you know, depending, I have some people who just call from the system. I have people who love direct mail. I have people who use it to door knock. It's pretty cool. I've been a longtime user for 7 years. And I've been a raving fan of Sean for a number of years. So it's really fun to be able to be in the tech space, to be part of a company going nationally. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I love it. And you got me really excited when you mentioned this 400-page book that was basically the idea was telling everybody it's time to get out of California. And I don't know how much you know about my story, but I coached the virtual coaching program with Wholesaling Inc.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I used to flip houses here in California. And it was, I remember, you know, it was like 2015, 2016, you know, I'm sending direct mail. And all of a sudden, I'm not getting as many leads. And the sellers want, you know, these crazy prices for their home. And in fact, they're getting it. They're getting it. So I can't even argue with them. Mm-hmm. And the deals were drying up. And I said, you know, I'm either going to be out of this business or I need to go to another state where this is still working. And I did not know very much. I just kind of picked a place on the map. That was my first go at it. I since refined my, you know, territory choosing, you know, as far as the boxes the territory needs to check. But at that point, I just threw a dart on the map, right? So I got out of California around 2016.
Okay.
And if I recall, I think I had seen that your dad, the Norris Group, was starting to talk about doing deals in Florida. And so it might have been maybe a little bit earlier than them or around that time, but that was when it was. Okay, so that was what, when I saw that your dad was going virtual, I was like, yep, I'm going virtual. Anything your dad published, put out, I listened to everything. And I'm telling you, this is why I've never lost money in this business. Like I've never had that horror story that you've heard some people do in the cycles and whatnot.
Yeah. And just so you know, this is my first full cycle as well. So, you know, going from a professional actor, I've only owned physical real estate as a landlord since about 2010. Before that, I was doing private notes, but, you know, I completely switched gears. So there's room for beginners in here too. And I don't want people to think that there's not opportunity in California. You know, the Norris Group still lends in California and Florida. And it really depends on your career. You know, Dad, one of his goals was to move. He had, his stuff was 1980s Moreno Valley in the Inland Empire in Southern California and not the greatest areas. He wanted to 1031 exchange in one of his last moves. Real estate for him was a means to an end. So he was going to brand new rentals. So the build to rent model in Florida. And That's what the Norris Group has been doing out there. But, you know, there's really opportunity anywhere. It's about finding a niche and where you're comfortable. Some people will never be comfortable going remote. And that's okay. It's totally okay. And it's really important to know who you bring to the table because, man, that's why I love this business. There's so many different ways to do this business. You can find yourself in it. I think one of the biggest mistakes I made coming into the business, thinking that I had to be like my legendary father, who was renowned for flipping. I suck at flipping. I overimprove.
Sure.
I really love being a landlord. It wasn't until I read a John Schaub book that it all made sense for me. I'm like, that's it. I just can buy rentals and rent them out and be happy. And it's changed my life. So This can go so many different ways. So I'm excited to tackle whatever you want. This is fun.
I know. Yeah, I know. And it probably is going to. So California got kind of tough. We're talking now like different niches. What's going on in the current space with like seller marketing? This is primarily a wholesaling podcast.
Right.
Our listeners are wholesalers. They're doing a lot of direct to seller marketing. What are you seeing from the standpoint of, you know, being in the tech business? Like, what are you seeing for us wholesalers? How is it changing?
Right. Wholesalers, I'm going to nerd out on you a little bit, but you have to know this is coming. You have some big competitors and some of it's good and some of it's going to feel a little bit scary. I just want you to know that it's out there. So let's talk about a few of the players that are in the space that you're going to have to compete with. And it's going to depend on what market you are. They may not be there yet. They may be coming. So let's cover iBuyers first. iBuyer model is the fast cash backed by technology. That's really the innovation in the space, is they're popularizing something we've been doing for years, right? They do direct mail, digital ads. So you've got Zillow, Opendoor, Knock, OfferPad, Redfin. Those are the five big ones. But you've also got realtor groups talking about throwing in their different spin on it. So Realogy, which owns ERA, Coldwell Banker, Home Gardens, you know, all those different brands. They last month announced they're rolling out their version. Keller Williams has been threatening to roll out their version. And that's the model I'm most excited about, is that local real estate investor. So you've got that hyper-local knowledge now that has in their back pocket a branded version of a real estate investor. So it's not going to be in every market. The thing that's really interesting, I've been following the data for years, is that you really have to get good at the buy box. And that just simply means, what are they after? Well, come to find out, it's changing. So here in California, if I look at the Inland Empire, the buy box is 1,500 square foot, 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. It's very formulaic. Where if I go to LA or San Diego, they mostly buy condos. And it's something very specific that they want. And it looks like more and more, they don't want heavy fixers. And that's great news for you. Mm-hmm. But you just have to know the easy ones, they're probably gone. And unfortunately, what they're going to be doing is driving up your costs for digital ads for the foreseeable future. So if you've noticed your paid your digital costs for advertising on Facebook and Google going up, that's probably why. I experienced this in the hard money space several years ago when Wall Street money got into the hard money lending business. They were totally driving up our costs. They played dirty. They were using our brand names in their marketing. So if you're busy in the market, I have a local real estate investor up in Sacramento who told me when COVID hit and all the iBuyers disappeared from her market, her digital cost ads went down significantly. And as soon as they came back, her keywords doubled in cost and her brand names tripled. So they were advertising against her name because they had targeted her for somebody who was buying.
Wow. So you're saying now, to like drive home the point, for digital marketing, the costs are going to drive up in areas where iBuyers are targeting. So it's probably wise, if you are a wholesaler, to see, are you wholesaling in an area that's very iBuyer heavy?
Yes.
Right.
Here's also the opportunity there. As a marketer and a business guy, I just want to know the market intel because we need to make some decisions. Am I going to avoid the category because it's too competitive and they can lose money? I can't do that. Yeah. I'm not a billion-dollar unicorn that I can afford to do that. So do we avoid, do we leverage, or do we mimic? Do we want to compete in the same space, completely avoid it, or figure out how to completely leverage them? What's really interesting is you've got a lot of Wall Street money that has a hole burning in their pocket that they have to spend. I have real estate investors who flip to them. So where you're going to win, they're going to go after the easy ones. I did an interview on our podcast with David Hicks. He's the CEO of Homevestors. He says, no, Homevestors is after a very different category, which I'll get to in a second, because they are also your competition. But Homevestors and other brands that go after the heavy fixers are doing something very different than these iBuyers. It looks more and more like these iBuyers are going to go after the real easy ones. In the Inland Empire, I am cracking up because they will paint like 1970s cabinets and put on brushed nickel poles and call it a day. They want to get in and out in like 2 months. And that works now because things are really hot. People just want, and you don't have to fix. However, that does not work in years when you and I were busy doing other inventory. The REO market, when it's not a hot market and you want to be the next yes answer, it just doesn't always work. So we have just to be very tuned into our local markets, be paying attention to the competition, the buy box, if you will, of these technology players. Learn what they're doing. Don't avoid the data. I'll send you links so you can post. I've created a short way to open up in Property Radar. We have a 3 free-day trial. If you've never used it, one of my favorite features is I can build criteria lists for you. And when you click on the link and you're locked in, it'll automatically populate and you just have to change where the map goes. It's really nerdy and cool. So I'll give you some links so people can see, because all the iBuyers are in different markets. So in the Inland Empire, for example, we have 4 here. We don't have Knock. If you're in Phoenix, you've got 5 that you're up against, and they're buying thousands of homes every year. So good to know.
Yeah. I guess you could look at it for the opportunity and see, like, you could sell to them. You know, they could be a buyer for you. Or, I mean, you could go virtual. Like, you know, I did that and went virtual. I'm all about going virtual and picking markets that are a little bit less competitive so you don't have to work as hard.
Yes. Bill Allen and I talked about that. He runs the 7-figure flipping group. And, yep, you know, that Bill. Yeah, Bill's great. And he talked about that very thing as sort of getting out a little bit outside of those major markets where the competition is really heavy. And, you know, I hate to see real estate investors get frustrated because they don't know where to start. It gets overwhelming. And then the cost of marketing is, you know, it's gone up. So the other category that we need to pay attention to is, I'm going to call it the professionalization of wholesaling. So you've got the Homevestors brand, the We Buy Ugly Houses. You know, they've been around for years and they do, you know, some marketing buys that, you know, the average real estate investor might not tackle, you know, TV, radio, billboards, that kind of stuff. But you've also got homes like brands like Sunday.com that's here in California. I got a hold of one of their mailers that I sent you today. Hopefully you can post that link showing the mailer where they actually throw local real estate investors under the bus, discrediting your offers. And what's really interesting is that they're doing a lot of the marketing, but they're not closing all their own deals. They're assigning it to other real estate investors and wholesaling it to other investors who are going to do the fix and flip. And then looking at their numbers, they're buying at the same margins you would expect as a wholesaler to be able to leave enough room for it on the other side. But their tactics, you really need to see the...
They're fighting dirty.
You need to see the mailer. I think it's really interesting. It's in the community. You'll have the link because I think it's a really good case study in marketing too. Is, you know, how are they writing their letters? You know, we've come a long way from the day of yellow letters. And because they are professionalizing the space and making that cash buy a little bit more mainstream, we just have to play harder. We just have to get more savvy.
Right, right. I know. For me, I do think though there are still so many, there's other markets where people can still flip houses and be profitable where these iBuyers are not a problem. So that's why like my go-to is, you know, well, I'm virtual. But another thing on the topic of like franchising wholesale, the wholesale business, I firmly believe it is impossible. I do not think you can franchise a wholesale business because McDonald's is a great franchise. Why? Because you can train somebody to put 3 pickles on a sandwich and 1 slice of cheese and you get the same product. You can standardize the entire operation. I mean, minus like there's small human error, but you can pretty much standardize the product. The problem is with our business is there's no standard. Every deal is completely different. There's a huge human component when you're doing the acquisitions. Just right now, I had to yell at a team member on my team because I saw she wasn't following the rules, you know, and it is very difficult to catch it in time. She had, I saw in her queue, like 260 something leads of like that she puts in this category and I have to go in independently and see her notes and see what she wrote. And I go, it took me a couple clicks to go, why didn't you send this one through? So like how I look at that and I look at, you know, iBuyers businesses, I go, it is so hard for me and I am here physically with my team watching them. How are they doing the acquisitions? How is it even possible? You know, and I know franchisees, like I've seen some of the, I know Homevestor franchisees. I've talked to a lot of them. They don't all know what they're doing.
No, you know what's funny?
They're paying a lot of money for that franchise.
Well, and part of it, they have no excuse because the Homevestors brand backs you with a lot of resources. And honestly, after talking to David Hicks, you know, he actually prefers you don't know what you're doing because he can train you and you don't come with baggage.
Right.
Actually, that's a much more efficient way probably to be a franchise is just you come in with an open mind and you adopt the systems.
Sure.
Now, the iBuyer model, you really have to look in further. So I'm glad you said it that way. For those iBuyers like Zillow and Opendoor Opendoor is about to go public, they've already admitted to losing money. Zillow says on average they lose like $7,000 a deal. We can't do that. Where are they making money?
Mortgages,
they're vertically integrating their services, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I heard. They're just vertically integrating all their services.
That's why it's going to be harder to, if you don't understand the buy box, if you're competing in a market where they're at, if you don't leverage them or figure out ways, categories that they don't want, and it changes in every single market. So don't, you know, if somebody quotes you a buy box at the state level, ignore them. It doesn't mean anything because it changes drastically depending on the market. But if you get really good at understanding that, there's a lot of opportunity there. And for wholesalers that are targeting you know, you need to get better at niches. You need to be diving into that local market and go, hey, you know what? I know these iBuyers want stuff that's over 1990. So I'm going to focus stuff before that.
Right.
I'm going to focus on homeowners that are over the age of 55 because they are net sellers of real estate. I want to focus on people who purchased between 2009 and 2013 because they're sitting on a buttload of equity. And I could have conversations with them about, you know, creative financing or seller carrybacks. I mean, there's over 200 fields to do really niche opportunities with. Maybe you're really good at construction or adding square footage or accessory dwelling units. So one of the biggest challenges that my brother and I are very different people. He's introverted and he has a construction background and he is amazing. I'm more extroverted. I'm a people person. So in 2016, like you were saying, when he was buying at trusty sales and then Wall Street got into that and they really drove down margins to the point where it didn't make much sense. So he transferred to Florida to do it there. And we, for a while, he decided he wanted to go back to school to be an attorney. But for a while, he was trying the, you know, the website, the SEO, call me if you want to sell your home. And I don't think he really enjoyed it. So yeah. It's important to know that kind of stuff because it's not always easy.
Yeah, no, it isn't. It isn't. And I mean, I think this, it's just so fascinating, you know, this stuff, because we don't talk about it enough in our podcast. So this is a very, very unique episode, but we don't talk about the iBuyer stuff. It was funny, believe it or not, my neighbor works for Redfin in their iBuying department. I just met her recently and I'm like, I look at her with like big eyes and I'm like, yeah, you're my competition. Like, but I'm like, tell me more about like, how do you guys do? Yeah. I'm like, she runs a sales acquisition team. Wow. And yeah, I haven't had a chance to dive deep into the processes, but I basically did have to let her know. I was like, yeah, we're in a similar
You business. Should and ask her, yeah. Like, what are you looking for? Because you can go after the people. They don't want people problems. Their whole goal, especially if you've got more than one iBuyer in a market, think about this. They're not only running up costs against us, they're running up costs against each other. Bill Allen was funny. He's like, yeah, I don't mind. They're popularizing the, you know, the concept. I'm like, you're right. You know what? We just need to shift our mindset, not allow it to be fear-based, and just understand they're there and figure out how to work them with them or around them. I think there's room for everybody. There is a good chance that we're going to have to focus on more of the people problems and the uglier stuff. But okay, that's the stuff that they're just not going to want because it's not easy to scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a very difficult business in general to scale. So I do think that they will start working with us. And I do like Bill's approach or thought about them popularizing.
Yeah, it's like CarMax. It's just, you know, you roll up to CarMax knowing you're going to leave some equity on the table because you don't want to post it on Craigslist and have a whole bunch of people checking out your used car. It's weird. So yeah, it's solving a lot of problems. And I think the real estate industry, not just real estate investors, realtors, mortgage professionals, we just really have to grow up. We don't deserve a 3% commission for not providing any value. You know, if you're working with a realtor who thinks access to the MLS is the gateway, the barrier to excellence, we have a problem.
Man, but I'll tell you, in some markets, they really are fighting that. I mean, I'm in a market, they're trying to, you know, make it, I know they can't make like a contract assignments illegal, but they are trying to make it illegal to be able to market properties that you have an equitable interest in, which essentially is what the wholesalers do. And there's several markets. I never can remember in the U.S. like which states there are. I know Ohio was like the number first one that did this, but they're trying to do it in Oklahoma. I'm not sure if you're aware of any other states.
No, I follow, for me personally, California and Florida, and I'm starting to plug in a little bit more, but you're saying assignments are going to get more tricky?
Yeah. So where they cannot take away contract assignments, but what they can do is regulate and create laws against how you market properties, that you can no longer market a property that you only have an equitable interest in, meaning, which is what wholesalers are doing. They're marketing a property that they have a contract on and they're putting it in a public forum. They're putting it on a website. They're doing whatever. Mm. So there are workarounds. So there's work. So you would want to, if you were in one of those states, I consult with an attorney to make sure you properly, you know, some of the workarounds of what I've heard is just putting on like your marketing contract for sale and you don't put any photos of the property. You don't allude that you're marketing a property, you are marketing a contract, which is legal.
Got it.
You can do that. There's just some workarounds. I'm personally like not afraid of it happening in my market because I think what happens when this happens is the newer investors or the people that aren't that serious about it, they're like, it kind of deters them, which now helps with the saturation problem of competition in my market. So yeah. If anything, it might do a little purge where people might not, you know, oh, this isn't as easy. So I'm going to not do it here.
Yeah. I think just in general, our the next decade is going to be...
purgy?
very purgy. I mean,
it's very purgy.
It's never been an easy business. It's work. It's a business. You know, if everybody could do it, everybody would.
Right.
And you know what? We are in one of those times in some markets where you show up and if you have your realtor's license, you're just making money. It feels like 04, 05 again, right? Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden, like I've gone through three people who cut my hair because everybody's becoming a realtor. So
Your dad always would say this. He goes, you always know when you're at the top of the market, when your hairdresser wants to become a house flipper.
Exactly. And we have to be careful. Like, you know, we have a lot of real estate investors that are reporting that they're getting more money on the sales side than they expected. Very experienced investors saying, hey, I got $50,000 more than I thought I was going to. Well, we just can't get spoiled. Like, can that last forever? Probably not. So, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, I'm telling you, I am so glad I stumbled upon the Norris Group when I first got started because to me, now I've spoken to investors are flipping 50 houses a year, a week ago, 50 houses a year or more. And he exact same statement. Oh my gosh. No, I mean, I'm getting 50,000 more and my flips are flying off the market right now. I don't think this is going to end. I think we're going to have a strong market for the next 2 years. And I'm like,
it's possible.
It's possible, but you might not want to like, you know, we're also in a pandemic and like evictions are up or they're going to be up once they can be. And like, so you need to be smart and plan for that.
And different cities are going to have very different experiences. LA and New York are going to have different experiences than Westchester, you know, is very close to New York versus, you know, the Inland Empire right outside of LA. If work from home is a thing. So yeah, really pay attention to demographic moves. The longer we do work from home, I think that's maybe a long-term play. Rural might get more popular. So It's just identifying those opportunities and really paying attention to the local level. Because that kind of thought process isn't easy to scale. Wall Street's going to go after volume and ease. They don't want that.
Right, totally.
They don't want that part of the business. So I think that's where a good opportunity lies. And I follow the foreclosure data every day. You know, a lot of the moratoriums end at the end of this month, so we have no idea. So the media is going to probably pick up in January, February, when the moratorium allows pre-COVID foreclosures to finally process that should have happened in March and April of this year, finally get to go through. That's not COVID related. Anything COVID related probably is not going to happen till summer if they're allowed to go at all. So in a worldwide pandemic, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, it's clear that more assistance is coming. And, you know, as a landlord, I'm uncomfortable. If a wave of, you know, evictions happen, you're the next on the list. So, you know, it's an interesting time. So
yeah, it is. So tell me more about Property Radar. I actually used Property Radar for a while until I went virtual and you guys weren't in my market.
We are now. And it's so exciting. I've been begging Sean for years. When I first started working with my father, we were paying over $1,000 a month for distressed data in one county in California. And now Property Radar is, even if you're on a month-to-month, it's under $100 a month. It's crazy. So democratizing data in that way and allowing public records are free. You could go down to your recorder's office, your assessor's office and get some of these things. And you probably should. So you can truly appreciate what Property Radar is.
Right.
Because it's all in one spot. And it's got, again, property, people, and mortgage data. So you could find your niche and just really back into really interesting opportunity. As an instance, just really making it simple, marketing to somebody who's an owner-occupant versus an absentee owner, very different process. I have real estate investors who've been able to take down an entire portfolio because talking to somebody who owns real estate as a business is a very different process than sending, do you really want to send a yellow letter to that person? Maybe not. Maybe you approach them a little differently and it shows that you've done your homework. and maybe they'd be more willing because they've been a landlord. Do they really want to give up all that income? Would they be willing to do more creative deals with you because of that? Probably. We're an owner-occupant, that's a different process. So what other cool opportunities should we explore? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So what can you get from Property Radar? Can you get probate lists?
Probate's on our list, but can I tell you a secret how to get there before it ever enters probate?
What?
Follow the obituaries in your local market and look them up on Property Radar. Oh. Hire a virtual assistant to go through and identify the property.
Wow. There you go. Okay.
That's a huge deal. So you have to remember, Property Radar is public records, but it doesn't mean you can't use it before it ever enters the domain of public record. Here's another way that people are using Property Radar. So here in California, accessory dwelling units are a really big deal. And the state's really been pushing for things like upzoning. If you're paying attention down to the local zoning rules in a cities that are upzoning specific areas and lots, you can... I was pulling data for a major media source that was looking at in LA, things that were zoned R3 but had a single family home on them and how many more opportunities there were. So you're talking about lots that maybe have one property, like a single family home on it, that could turn into 6 units. So sometimes before it ever enters the domain of a public record, if you pay attention to the local level, knowing that they were doing those things, you could get there first, which is really cool.
So you can find, okay, tell me more stuff that our listeners can use Property Radar. So basically what, from my understanding, it's list pulling for I would say signs of distress or motivated sellers. Like if you're looking for a motivated seller list, whatever that kind of niche, like what are the different types of lists that they can pull?
Well, one of the easiest things is we have something called quick lists. It's the easy button. So if you're a real estate investor looking for landlords that are located out of state, located out of the county, you know, that have, you know, 50% equity. So there's a lot of different ways you can slice and dice the opportunity based on the kind of field. So the best way to start is always doing what's worked for you now. If you give me, you know, 5 of your current deals and we walk through them, who was it? What? How old were they? Were they moving? You know, what was the distress? You know, there you go. But some of it's just based on the properties. So it's age. Like, hey, I only want to market to people where they're sitting on a home that's, you know, over 50 years old because I know it's uglier and has a lot more potential to where they're not going to have the money to rehab it or want to go through that process. You could market based on age. So I think one of the powers of having demographic information in there, it's being able to really slice and dice based on age group or family events. Kids on site. What are some of the other demographic data in there? One of my favorites that makes me laugh is charities that people give to. So in the presentation that I do with different clubs, I pull up how many people in the local market give to animal charities. I'm like, you can send a lot of cat postcards. Like, I mean, imagine being able to change your marketing, the visuals, which can be very profound and impactful based on those kind of things. Variable marketing is very real. We have some partners too. Partnerships, I think, are one of the things that people don't plug into. Print Genie. Let's say I set up a list in my market where, hey, I want to market to anyone over 65. So that very first mailer I do. But in the future, anytime somebody ages into it, I can send a one-off postcard automatically. I don't have to think about it. So you can set up lists that are dynamic to where when life events happen, demographic shifts happen, or even if properties sell, you know, the dynamic list takes people out when they also can hit specific moments in time.
Mm-hmm. I recall you guys have your notice of default and your foreclosure information is what's really, really fire because that's where you guys started, right? It was Foreclosure Radar and then...
And then we moved to Property Radar because he saw the writing on the wall that foreclosures weren't going to be as much. Now, I want you to think about it. So right now, go to your local Association of Realtors and see how much equity people have gained since January. It's hard to have distress when people have options. So in our mind, when as a real estate investor, I think short sale, foreclosure. Well, if you're sitting on equity, people have options. It just means they're going to sell. So distress is going to mean something different in, you know, 2021 than it did in 2009, where people are upside down by 50% and you basically have to pursue foreclosure. This is just going to be a sale.
Right. So, right. Does Property Radar have like a comping tool or no? Is it?
Yeah, we have an AVM tool. So some of the things that people do, I'll send you a link. I'm on this kick where I have a trove of mailers from real estate investors. And the last 2 weeks, I've posted one from the prop tech companies. And one is, I sent you a mailer from Open Door today. Their newest one, it has more color. It's not just the blue. Uh-huh. So I love to see the generations of the marketing and what they're doing and tweaking. One of the tweaks was there's no website and no email address anymore on their mailer. They wow. want you to call. So that's new. So I like following that kind of stuff. I got sidetracked though.
I was asking you about comping tool.
Oh, on the mailer, it's got a price range where it's like, hey, this is our offer value. So yeah, you can export like our AVM or what we think the property is worth and sort of plus and minus. There's ways that you can do it in Excel to create that range to where a mail merger can be very, you know, specific to the, you know, the area and the property, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds very, very interesting. So why don't you drop where people could find that? I'm going to guess, is it propertyradar.com?
Propertyradar.com. There's a free 3-day trial. And what I'd really love, you know, wholesalers can actually be very big power users of the product. And it can be overwhelming. It can be overwhelming for newbies getting into the industry. Another resource I'd like to plug is community.propertyradar.com. I monitor that. So if you get lost or have questions, if you post in there, I'd be happy to respond. I produce the Data-Driven Real Estate podcast where we're interviewing. This week, we got to interview the St. Louis Fed, the Fred team, because I'm a nerd. So we produce a lot of really cool content. And if you sign up for the 3-day trial, make sure to sign up for a one-on-one with the support. A lot of times it's just you have in your mind what you want to do. You just don't know the product enough to know exactly where you need to get to. And mm-hmm. a 15-minute phone call can plug you in and make it valuable.
Awesome. I love it. Well, this was super interesting. We covered a lot of really interesting topics today.
I try to be the nerd.
You did. You delivered. How can anyone get a hold of you? What are your socials? Drop it all here.
Aaron Norris on Twitter. You can email me at aaron@propertyradar.com. If you're from the East Coast, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. So yeah, glad to help wherever I can.
Are you on Instagram?
I am on Instagram under Aaron Norris. It's mostly personal stuff. So you see pictures of my cat and weird things I do out and about, speaking engagements.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you guys, we'll put that in the show notes. And Aaron, it was so great to have you today. Honestly, it's an honor to be able to interview. I told my brother I was interviewing you. He's like, I can't wait to listen to that. He's a big fan as well. So
hopefully we didn't disappoint. I tried to nerd out on you.
Loved it. Loved every minute of it. Okay, all right, Aaron. Cool.
If you guys want to learn more about taking your business virtual, I am coaching all things virtual. Check out www.virtualinvestingmastery.com. I have an awesome coaching program. So if you guys are interested, check it out. Hope you guys like the episode today, and we'll see you next time.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.